Good morning. How's it going? So good to see you all today. Thank you, Pastor Pavel, for your kind words and this opportunity. I'm so grateful this morning to be sharing the word with you today. You know, my heart for you this morning is that you would know the heart of Christ. I believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me today and yesterday, and he wants you to know his heart for you this morning. And we serve a God that is so amazing, so powerful. It's beyond even human comprehension. And when we try to overcomprehend the blessings of grace and of God, we can sometimes overcomplicate things. And so I want to remind you today of the heart of Christ. You know, often in my early years of walking with Christ, I would try and take this walk and I would fail. I would try and go back to the Lord. And later on, I would fail again and fail again and fail again. And naturally, as a human, it is easy to keep a scorecard with God. That we think throughout our weeks, how many times have I come to God for repentance? How many times have I approached him and said sorry? And surely, I can't keep doing this. Surely there's a point where God gets weary, that God knows the scorecard. He knows how many times we've come to him this week. And we can get in this mindset so easy. Have you ever experienced a friend? And maybe you've blessed him. Maybe you've bought him lunch or you've bought her coffee. And then later on, next week, you find them buying you something for the exact same price. And it's like compensation. And we can do that with God. It's so interesting with grace. We can come back to God and receive his grace that he so willingly pours out to us. And then all of a sudden, we feel like we now have to earn the next one. And it feels like we're the car and we're filling up the gas and then just hoping it's going to last long enough until we have to go back. And we treat his grace like it's gas for a car that will eventually run out, that we will need to come back. And while this is true in some ways, there is a further truth of the heart of Christ, that he is not like us. And this is how it was with me and God for a while. I would repent and be genuine in my repentance and then come back and think, well, I've used that card today. And we use sometimes grace and repentance like a get out of jail free card, which is not the case. So what's the problem with this mindset that we can sometimes get in? Well, we treat grace like a get out of jail free card, and we treat repentance like it's just enough for a certain time. And then eventually God is going to roll his eyes when we have to come back to him later that week. And this is a problem. And we don't understand that God's heart for us is that he can never be more pleased with you than right now. There's no upgrade in Christian that makes you a better candidate for his love. Amen? And finally, God isn't like us. He doesn't keep scorecards. And so I want to talk about a few points, and I want to turn to scripture. I want to turn to Ephesians 1. If you have a Bible with you today, you can turn to Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 8. And my goal today is that you would see the heart of Christ for you, that you would see what happens when you approach Christ and his attitude towards you. Starting at verse 4. Actually, let me start at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, can everyone say in love? He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. I want you to hear that again. In accordance with his pleasure and will. And the great thing about this is God's love was there before you ever stepped onto the scene, before you were created, before you took your first breath or said your first repentance. God had already chosen you. God is eternal and his character never changes. Us as humans, we need to sleep, we need to eat. And if we don't, we will get hungry, amen? And we will become not so nice as we were earlier that day, amen? Just me, okay. So the Father's heart never gets weary. He never gets exhausted when his children come to him. Think about that for a minute. He is not like a human who loses patience with us. He never gets exhausted at us approaching him. And how do we know this? Well, we know this because it was his plan to send Christ to the cross. It says, for he chose us before the creation of the world to be blameless and holy in his sight, in accordance with his pleasure and will. It's his will. It was his idea. Do you know this today, church? It was his idea. It was his initiative. Sometimes we treat Christ as someone to hide behind because there's an angry God after you. That you often, and I have gone through this, and I can relate to this, is where we feel like God has a grudge against us. And it stops us from going to him. It's a lie from the enemy that we think that God has a grudge against us. And we treat Christ as someone to hide behind because there's an angry father and Christ is just holding back his wrath. And this is not true of the heart of God. Let me tell you today that it was God's initiative, the Father's initiative, to send Christ so that you may approach him. His heart is for you today. His heart is waiting for you to approach him today through Christ. It was his initiative. Before you ever stepped onto this earth, he had a plan for you to be restored to him, to have a relationship with him. God is not holding a grudge against you, amen? His grace is for you. It's the reason Christ died. It was for you to approach the Father and have a relationship with him, that you may receive the blessings of his grace. God's heart is for you today, is that you may know you can run to him in your time of need, in your time of failure, and in your time of distress. I don't know what you're going through today, but maybe your relationship with God has been a bit of a scorecard, and you realize that you feel like you're running out of chips that you can approach him with. I want to remind you that grace is boundless. His grace is unending. And you can always, always approach him through the grace of his son. Christ delights it. He delights when you draw from the river of grace that is in him. Why? Because it was the very reason he went to the cross. If we only knew Christ's heart for you today, if you only knew his thoughts and expressions towards you, how quickly we would get up and run to his throne. how quickly we would approach him. Yet we sit and ponder for hours, if not days, on how we can make it right with God. Maybe if I wait long enough for my time of failure or time of distress, if I just wait long enough, I can maybe approach him tomorrow. But today, I feel disqualified. If you've ever felt that, I want you to know, and maybe you're feeling that today, it is the lie from the enemy. You do not need to wait for a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning to come. That is not why Jesus died. Jesus died so that you can approach him at all times. It wouldn't be Christ's heart if it wasn't always. It wouldn't be true grace if it was time-bound or situational. But no, in the good times, in the bad times, in the stressful times, in the tense times, you can always approach him. Amen? As the expression goes, you don't need to get clean before taking a shower. You take a shower to get clean. How many of us need to come to Christ today and draw from his grace that is so freely available? I want to give you an analogy. There was a missionary who was a doctor, and she went to minister in a foreign country where there was tribes in the mountains. And she went to the first tribe with medicine. They were very sick. There was a lot of sickness and death in the tribe, in the camp. And the missionary went and offered this, all the medicine. And the tribe turned her away and rejected her. And she was heartbroken. And she went to the next tribe, and they rejected her help as well and went to the next tribe. And this tribe accepted the medicine for healing. Can I tell you that that missionary doctor was overjoyed, was rejoicing that that tribe took her help? And can I tell you that is Christ for us as well today? That when we receive the medicine of grace in our lives, that Christ's heart is overjoyed. It was for this reason he came. He did not despise the cross for the joy that was set before him. What joy? The joy is you. The joy is me. It's his children that will come to him. The joy of Christ's heart is that we may come to him in our times of need, because he is our solution today. Amen? And some of us struggle with the concept of grace because we've wrongly characterized it. We've seen it as a token. But I want to tell you today that it is not a thing, but a person. Jesus Christ is grace. The grace you receive is receiving Christ, is receiving Jesus. It is not a thing to be handed out, but a person to receive, a relationship. He is grace. So I want to tell you something about Jesus Christ today. Something so, so wonderful is that us in our sin were helpless without God. And we know that. And Christ is the only one that is worthy and has the ability to live a sinless life like he did. He was the only one in the existence of all time and history to live a sinless life and save us from sin. He was the only one. And not only this, he was the only one that was willing. Out of everybody to ever exist, he was the only one that wanted to save you. God was the only one. Not only was he the only one who could, he was the only one that's willing. Let me tell you, there's not another way to come back to the Father. There's not enough strength you can muster it up in yourself. But there is a person today that you can go to and you will receive his grace and mercy, so willing to, because he was the only one who could and he was the only one that's willing, amen? That's heart's cry for us. He was the only one that desired to climb into our pits and pull us out. We see that in his life when he was on earth. I want to read Hebrews 4:15. And it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin." This qualified him. This qualified him to be the only one who is able to take on our sin. And I also want to read a verse in Corinthians. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God." Christ is the only one who is able and willing. Thank God he did it. Thank God he came and saved us. Thank God that he was able, that he resisted every temptation known to man. And he can sympathize with us. Hallelujah, we have a God who can sympathize, who can understand our needs. Amen. I'm so glad he was willing today. So what I'm getting at here is that we have an advocate in Christ that we can always go to, because he paid the price of our sin so we wouldn't have to. In 1 John 2:1-2, it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but the sins of the whole world." Let me tell you that we receive the blessings of Christ when we turn from our sin, and we no longer do. This message is not, of course, what we know is we're mature Christians, that we know that this message is not so that we could keep sinning or going in our own ways. And I'll get to more of that later. But what is it for? It's so that we know that if we do, when we do, that there is a high priest, that we have an advocate in Jesus. But as we mature in our faith, I believe it is important to bring up another side of Christ that we sometimes miss out on. That yes, we have an advocate for Christ, but are we not meant to walk in this righteousness? Are we not meant to keep his commandments? So is Christ just an advocate for us, which is a blessing, as I've just said? But a lot of Christians just stop here. And we only know Christ as our advocate, which is a beautiful thing. But as we mature in our faith, a great revelation must be understood for the Christian about Jesus. When Jesus was resurrected, he rose again and he ascended to heaven. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And this is what he is doing today. And he's not just sitting, waiting for revelation to play out, as it will. And he is not being stagnant. But what does the Bible say he's doing in this time? I want to read Hebrews 7, verse 25 for this answer. And it says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. And I want to talk about Christ, the intercessor. We have known Christ to be our advocate, and some of us have known what it's like to repent and go back to him as a Christian. And we know that there's a throne of grace that we can draw from. But let us also look at Christ as our intercessor. And what does this mean? It means he is praying consistently for us. It says he is always interceding for us to the Father, always interceding. Always means always. It's obvious, but we forget. Always means in the hard times, in the times you're feeling shameful. Always means when you've doubted. Always means in the good times. Always means when we've not been up to par or we have found ourselves in a tricky situation again. I thank God that he is always interceding on our behalf, that it's not a situational intercession. It is not just when I'm good. It is not just at my highs. It is not when I've become a better, mature Christian. Christ is always interceding for us. And what is he praying? What is he interceding? Well, let's look at Luke 22, verse 31. Christ answers this when he speaks to Simon. And in verse 31 to 32, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to shift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. Prayed what? That your faith may not fail. Amen? What does this mean? It means that we have an advocate in Christ, but that we must not keep repeating the same cycles of sin, that we must not just come to Christ for a top-up of grace, but Christ is praying constantly that we would remain in him, that we would not lose sight, that we would consistently come to him in times of need, that our faith may not fail. Let me tell you, if you're in here today and you feel like you have worn down God, that you have sinned too much and that I can't get out of this, I'm stuck in this cycle, that okay, I'll have to come to Christ as an advocate for the rest of my life, which is true, but I can never be truly free. And that's where the enemy comes in with that half lie, that kind of truth. It sounds right, it's a little logical, but it's wrong. That Christ is interceding to the Father, that your faith may not fail, that you have Christ as an intercessor that is praying on your behalf, that your faith will stand strong. And let me tell you, if Christ prays it, it means it's possible for us today, church. The fact that Christ is saying this, is praying this, it means, it tells me that it is possible to stand in this faith, that there is a place with Christ that we can go to where our faith will not fail. Amen? That we will get to a place in Christ, not in our own strengths, not in our own abilities, not when we're good enough, not when we've gone to church enough, but when we've come to Christ, totally helpless, we've raised our hands and said, God, I need you, and I don't want my faith to fail, but I want to trust in you because you have the power to keep me. If he's praying, that means there's hope for us today. Amen. God gave us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. Someone we can listen to. Someone When we read our word, we can hear his tug. Why? Because he wants more of you. He wants all of you. His heart is so for you. His heart is so for you today. Understand that all of you who are in Christ today, you are not alone, but Jesus is actively working in the Christian's life today. He is not up in heaven stagnant. Who knows that the Father would never reject the Son's prayer, amen? That the Father would never say no to the requests of his child. Do you know his heart? Have you forgotten his heart today? Do you need to return to a place in Christ where you say, Lord, I need you as my advocate. I have failed, and I need you as my advocate today. That you died for my sake so that I could run to you. But Lord, as I run to you, to your throne of grace, would you keep me in this walk? Would you strengthen my faith so that I may stand strong and be a witness of the power of God? And this is the power to defeat sin. It is not our own strength. If you're looking for a way out, you need to understand the love of God. That's where it starts. The greater the revelation of the love of God, the greater you will understand the power that is for you. You are not alone today. Do not let Satan get the victory over your mind. Remind yourselves of these truths today. You see, grace is so simple, but yet so difficult to comprehend and grasp. I think for me, in my life, the hardest thing for me to believe is that I have truly been forgiven and that God loves me. It's a simple, simple, simple belief. But there's a whole enemy that will do anything to throw you off that belief. Because if you just grasp what it is in Christ today, if you just grasp the concept and person of Jesus Christ and his grace, you will understand what is there for you, what is open arms is there for you. I want to encourage you today to come back to the heart of Christ today. Maybe you've missed a part of his heart that he's longing to share with you. And I want to encourage you today that we have an advocate and an intercessor, that you may walk this walk and fight the fight, that Christ is for you. If you take one thing away from today, it's that God is not holding a grudge against you, that he never gets weary or tired or frustrated when you come to him. Just like that missionary, he wants to give you the medicine of grace and will be rejoicing when you do. Let me pray. Can we all stand? Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who has poured out your grace upon us, that your love is for us, that God, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, that Lord, in those times where we have lost sight of you, we have got distracted and we have failed, that there is a person that we can come to who has defeated sin, hell, and the grave, and that we can run to for grace. And I thank you, Lord, upon receiving that grace, That same person of Jesus Christ is for us so much that you are praying to the Father that our faith may not fail, that though there may be trials in this life, that though there may be times of challenge, that we have you, Lord Jesus, praying for us. And we want to thank you today for your love and mercy. I pray every single person, Lord, under the sound of my voice, would realize the love of Christ. Holy Spirit, come down in this moment. Touch the hearts of those who have lost sight of you today, Lord, who have lost sight of your grace. Oh God, remove the barrier in our lives that stops us from coming to you. Our excuses, our own comprehension, and let us run boldly to your throne again, Lord. We love you. And we worship you in your name. Amen.